The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Fun on the base paths yesterday. Scoring from second on a sack fly. That's the most Cardinals-est thing that's ever Cardinals before. And a home run that wasn't, but was dropped over the fence, so it was, but then it wasn't because you ran past the guy and, oh, what are we doing over here? Let's go.
It happens all the time in Little League.
You blame the ump?
Why did Atlanta with the foibles?
Or do you blame Duvall for not hitting it 3 feet further?
First base coach, what's your shot?
It's early in this NFL season, but we have peak Thursday night football tonight. The Carolina Panthers, the Houston Texans. For Houston, Davis Mills' first career start. And Carolina, putting that gaudy 2-0 record out there, wins over the Jets, but an impressive win over the Saints last week. And maybe this is the Sam Darnold revolution. Frank Isola, I know you're on the Texans beat, and you want to talk about Houston. But what are you seeing from these Panthers with a chance tonight to go to 3-0?
Yeah, poor Davis Mills. He has 4 days to prepare for what right now is the top-ranked defense in the NFL. 10 sacks for Carolina, good against the run. But when you look at the other quarterback, and he had a career in New York, which was beset by injury, illness, and then constant turnover in that organization, maybe he's found himself. And they got a chance, had a great opportunity to go 3-0. First time, the last time they did that, they went to a Super Bowl. So maybe this is Sam Darnold's
time. You believe that defense is for real? You saw what they did to the Jets in week one, but you saw what they did specifically to the Saints last week, Frank.
Absolutely. The Jets in week one, it's hard to judge that. But Jameis Winston was coming off a very good game, and it looked like, you know, maybe he was going to start turning things around. They completely shut him down, and they're getting to the quarterback, which is the key. So say a prayer for Davis Mills tonight.
Mina Kimes, I'll bring you in here on what the Panthers have been doing to get to this point with tonight. They could be 3-0.
Yeah, I mean, they have benefited from weak competition. The Jets, the Saints were very banged up on both sides of the ball. But this is undeniably an ascending team. I want to watch them. And it all starts for me with Phil Snow's defense, which is really a perfect marriage of personnel and scheme. And it's creating, as you said, the best defense statistically in the league. But you don't need to look at stats. You just got to watch them play. And it's really fascinating, Tony. I mean, multiple fronts, creative pressures, blitzers coming from all over the place. They had the Saints offensive line, which is very good in a blender. Hassan Reddick, Brian Burns, Jeremy Chin. This is an ascending young core. So I'm excited about the Panthers defense. I think we need to maybe hold off on deep playoff talk, but wild card talk? Yeah, we can have that conversation.
All right. Well, maybe you just muted me because I said this was peak Thursday night football, which has an implication. Woody Page, I'll bring you in here. No implication. I'm not saying anything other than tonight you got a rookie quarterback making his first start out of nowhere on a short week here, Woody, and you've got the Panthers.
I think it's funny that the two panelists never even brought up the name McCaffrey, a guy who's gone back to the way he was in 2019, averaging 30 touches a game. He's both catching the ball. He had 15 targets on Sunday. He caught 14 passes. I mean, that's an incredible rate of success that he had. He's running the football accurately. He's doing everything you could possibly want out of a running back. Yeah, well, he's doing it. Why? He's going inside. Running backs don't generally go inside as much as he does when you have his kind of physique. But I think defensively, as both panelists talked about, being number one in the league, giving up less than 200 yards per game, even to the Saints when you consider that. But they gave a young quarterback problems, so I think they're going to be able to do it again because their pass rush is coming from everywhere. It's not coming from a couple of players. I think it's about eight guys that have the 10 sacks that they've accumulated
so far. The 14 receptions for McCaffrey is through two games, Woody Page, so the accurate receiving there. L. Duncan, we'll bring you in here.
you guys keep focusing on the defense, and I feel like we have recent history tell us that doesn't mean much. 2019 Patriots, right? They started out the season as dominant as you can possibly be. Nobody could score on them. It was the same exact narrative and storylines that we're talking about with the Panthers. And long-term, it didn't actually mean anything. It didn't, because they couldn't overcome an average offense. And let's be honest, that's what the Panthers are right now. Like, Sam Darnold went from being one of the worst quarterbacks in the league, being a poor quarterback, to being an adequate quarterback, and that's okay. There's still a lot of questions on the left side of their offensive line. They have not been overwhelmed yet, but they're certainly the weak spot of that team, so we're going to see what happens when they have to hold up to real pressure. But I think it's okay to say this is a little bit like fool's gold, because Panthers linebacker Hassan Reddick said the same thing. He's like, I didn't even know we were going to be this good this early. I just think that, yes, they're going to beat the Texans, and history tells us that means they'll make the playoffs, but that doesn't mean they're necessarily a playoff team yet.
That three-point margin you have right now, that might be fool's gold too, because there was a banned word in there. News, Duncan. Mina Kimes specifically on Davis Mills tonight, the rookie making a first start.
Oh, man. Well, first I'll start by saying I wish Tyrod Taylor was healthy for a litany of reasons. The dude's basically had the worst luck of anyone, but he's been playing really well. This would be a spicier game. Davis Mills, your classic developmental prospect, very good arm. You saw at Stanford some questionable decision-making and not a lot of mobility. I think he'll have a hard time against this Panthers.
Questionable decision-making has never stopped us before. Let's look at Woody Page right now. This entire ensemble, the hair part, you could set your watch to. I don't know if I should be asking for mortgage rates from you, or if you'd blow up balloons for the kids' party with that tie. What is that? That's Big Bird. I'm seeing an eye. Hold up the tie, just so we can all experience what we're looking at here. Yes, Big Bird's making an appearance at that tie. We'll move on. Minnesota Vikings, 0-2. Here you go, Woody. Versus Seattle Sunday. Dalvin Cook had a sprained ankle. When it happened to him in the game, he's like, he didn't even know what was happening. He hasn't been practicing this week, and Coach Mike Zimmer is indicating he'll play him this upcoming week because it's time to get some wins. Quote, it's time to get some wins, end quote.
It's time to get some wins.
I believe I said that, Coach. Thank you very much. L, how do you hear Coach Mike Zimmer?
Oh, now's the time. I'm glad now's the time to get some wins. Maybe he woke up feeling winnery. I mean, this is, you know what? The Vikings might as well, their nickname might as well be the Oh Yeahs, because with all of the drama surrounding the Packers and the intrigue in Chicago, and then just, you know, we've got the most ridiculous head coach of all time in Detroit, it feels like I sort of forget that the Vikings are a team. I sort of forget they're in that division. I sort of forget until topics like this that Kirk Cousins is still stealing money in Minnesota.
Okay,
and for you to say and acknowledge what we already know, that you're going to ride Dalvin Cook's back to mediocrity, you did it last year too. You used him at his highest usage rate of his career, and what did it do? It led you to a 7-win team. Mike Zimmer's one focus, singular focus, has always been defense, and they're terrible too. So no, I don't care about the Vikings. In fact, I forgot that they're a team, and I will as soon as I stop talking.
Do we need anybody else on this topic, Mina Kimes? You want to go after anything else just
Tell
said?
Tell us how you really feel. not exactly Minnesota nice over there. It's funny because we're talking about the Cardinals like the hottest team. They should have lost to Minnesota if their kicker just makes a gimme field goal. As far as this particular game against Seattle and Dalvin Cook, if he's hurt, they shouldn't play him. I'd also add Seattle, the weakness is the secondary. I know they just got steamrolled by Derrick Henry, but that's an area that the Vikings should be able to exploit through the air with their wide receivers. And last year, when Cook was out, Alexander Mattison, the backup, put up over 100 yards on Seattle. Don't push it, even though your back is against
the wall. Woody Page, how do you hear a coach saying, you know, he's got a little sprained ankle, but we need to win this week in week three?
Well, he's got to worry about Cook and that ankle injury, because he said in the press conference he hadn't experienced that kind of pain before. He also had a stinger earlier in the game. So you got to be concerned, because, once again, like McCaffrey, he's a guy they depend on both in the passing game and, of course, running the football. He's like third in the league. So, yes, it is time for them to have a win. And I'm glad that L wasn't in this country when
L's
the Vikings first
right
came here, because you would have ripped him and said, go back to where you belong. I think it's really the case that the Vikings are in a position where they do have to win a game against a good team.
The Vikings, they came here. You're talking about Leif Erickson. You're talking about Eric the Red. I'll let it slide for now, Woody Page. Frank Isola, come in here.
Yeah, back to where they came from is playing outdoors. That's when they're a dominant team, and they built two stadiums where they play indoors, which makes no sense. They used to have a home field
advantage. Okay, everybody's ripping the Vikings here. Unbelievable.
Well, it's not fire. It's actually ice. That's the issue. Now, Dalvin Cook has rushed for 100 yards 9 times since the start of last season. Only Derrick Henry has more. If he's healthy, to Mina's point, I want him out there. If he can't run, then don't do it. But once again, it shows you how often a good season and a bad season is defined by your kicker making makeable kicks. Last week, they didn't make it, and now you're trying to avoid being 0-3.
One more story here. You tell me who I'm talking about. Quote, his emotions never evolved with age, end quote. Bill Belichick. This is according to Tom Brady's body man, Alex Guerrero. As Tom got into his late 30s, early 40s, I think Bill was still trying to treat him like that. He's a 20-year-old. He can't treat someone who's in their 40s like they're 20. It doesn't work. This is from an interview with Karen Garigian of the Boston Herald. Nina Kimes, I'm looking at your face right now. Please, tell me what's on your mind.
Okay, Rasputin. I mean, look, Tom Brady might feel the way that Alex Guerrero says he does. He probably does, but consider the source. His body man was basically pushed out of the Patriots by Bill Belichick. Not exactly an unbiased vessel for criticism of Bill Belichick. Stay in your lane. I think this is a bad look for him.
Woody Page?
Yeah, I mean, here's a guy with a checkered past that got kicked away from the Patriots. Don't come around the facility. And yet he's the one speaking now. He's the spokesman for Tom Brady about going back to New England and playing the Patriots. No. So Bill Belichick, let's say he had evolved. Mm-hmm. Would they have won all those championships? Probably not, because he is what he is. Yeah. That's exactly why they have been so successful. And, I mean, are we seeing Tom Brady's evolvement with a coach? No. Bruce Arians has picked on him since he's gotten down there. That's coaches know they can actually use him to get to other players.
Evolution in your answer there, Woody Page. I like that. Frank Isola, how about you?
Yeah, we know the history between Guerrero and Belichick, number one. Number two, coaches say it all the time. If they can't get you on results, they'll try to get you on relationships. How did it work out with Belichick and Brady? Greatest quarterback, head coach combination of all time. And guess what? Tom Brady did not win a Super Bowl as a 40-year-old. Alex Guerrero is right. He was 41 when he won one. So something tells me it was working.
And L. Duncan, how about you?
You guys have to separate the message from the messenger. If the devil popped up right now and said candy corn is disgusting, the same can be true. Yeah, that guy sucks, but candy corn is terrible. And Alex Guerrero is right. Clearly, Tom Brady is having more fun. Clearly, that relationship deteriorated. Clearly, there was something there that prevented him from wanting to finish out his career at a place where he
Nina, you want to respond to that?
Come on, you guys.
Candy corn, how dare you, Mel? Candy corn is delicious. I stand for the candy corn eaters of America.
L. Duncan used a banned word earlier in today's episode. And that word actually made an appearance this week as well from L. Duncan. L., very nice profile on you on The Big Lead. And we appreciate everything you said about this year's program and, of course, your fine work at SportsCenter. But there appears to be a word on that screen here. And once again, it's bang. Getting you. Bang, bang, bang. So I want to say we love the messenger. But don't confuse it with
not the message
that you're saying there. Duncan's done for now. Buy or sell in 2 minutes.
Down.
Friends like these.
Wow, we almost had that ready. On the ready. It's amazing how that happened.
Wow.
That's television.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
for years now, you've had the issue of if you try to play Alabama, they got five-star players that look like an NFL team. Now they get to go cherry-pick players for any holes that they have, like Ohio State receiver or Tennessee linebacker. So now it's like not only do they get all the top draft picks, now they get to go in free agency and take players.
Free?
Oh, Mrs. Lane Kiffin talking about the transfer portal and the free agency and the advantages Alabama has. Mina Kimes, do you want to buy or sell Kiffin's comments there?
I'm buying that it's true. I'm selling that anything should be done about it. I mean, the Pandora's box of the transfer portal has been opened, and it stands to reason that players would flock to the more desirable programs. You can't turn back that clock. The only thing you can do now is try to empower smaller programs to compete with Alabama, and you know there's only one way that that can happen.
Woody Page.
I'm selling it because of the same reason I would sell Mina. Left out some really important information. Alabama during the offseason lost six players to other schools in the transfer portal. So they may be cherry picking, but they're cherry picking fewer players than they're losing.
Yeah. Well, they're a good program and really good guys are backups there and they want to go somewhere else. Frank Isola, how do you read this?
Yeah, and the leading tackler, leading receiver are both transfers. And this is why, to Mina's point, if you want to play for the best and get unbelievable coaching, play in a national championship game, fastest way to the NFL, go to Alabama. To me, if I'm Nick Saban, I thank Lane Kiffin for saying that.
And Al Duncan.
I mean, of course he's right, but Nick Saban warned everybody. Like, earlier this year, he was like, I don't know. I mean, it could be a case of the rich getting richer. Obviously, could you imagine if the Avengers went to Thanos and was like, here's a guide map to finding the Infinity Stones. And he's like, I don't need them. I'm going to still find them anyway. And why would you do that? Why would you empower Thanos by giving him an opportunity to cherry pick more players? I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. Woody and Frank's face right now as you're doing the Avengers.
You don't know Marvel stuff? Or?
I don't watch
the
it.
Man's wearing a Big Bird tie right now. I mean, Thanos is not going to land with him. Kevin Kiermaier taking that player's notes card, right? The Blue Jays said it was agua under the bridge. However, it was pelota into the back. Kiermaier called hitting him a weak move. He said, can't wait to see these guys next. Might happen in the playoffs. Frank, what do you buy? What do you sell?
I'm going to hit him on the hip because you knew that this was coming. The wheels were in motion. The minute he picked up that piece of paper, they hit better once they got it. Tampa knew this was coming. Toronto knew it was coming.
They hit better once they got that piece of paper? What, do you have some stats to back that up, Frank?
Not really. I just know that for a fact.
Al Duncan, you're raising your hand. Go ahead.
I got your back. Before the card literally fell into Kiermaier's lap, they believe that the Rays were swinging and missing at like 10% of their pitches, and then afterwards only 2%.
Wow, you had the stat.
That's the stat.
It's an analytic piece.
I thought you had
analytic piece. It's a weak move, Frank.
It's incredible.
It's a weak move.
I'm gonna check that.
You know, one of stupid unwritten rules that thou shalt not let a card fall in my lap or you're going to get hit in the back. It's so ridiculous and dumb, and I don't think it meant anything.
Mina Kimes.
I just want to say, that was like watching the card fall out of Frank's pocket and Al Duncan just picked it up and ran
with Frank.
It.
Oh, what a...
Credit to her. Here's what I don't like about this. Kiermaier was actually in the wrong. Not in picking it up, but they should have given it back. The problem is, as always in baseball, you lose the moral high ground when you throw at him. Mock him for cheating. There has to be a more creative form of retribution than the same old weak sauce.
And Woody Page.
Are we going to bring the drums back now? Is that the garbage cans banging on them? I don't think there was any problem there except that when he found it when you find a dollar bill on the street, you hand it to the person that's next to you and say, here's your dollar back. He should have said you dropped your paper and it wouldn't have been a problem. But for them to come back and hit him, what is that all about? Get over it. Move on.
I still can't get over Frank Isola. You know, Frank.
What is 10.8 swings?
Don't even try.
Give me 10.8 swings.
It was a percentage for the first part. And also, it's an incredibly small sample size. I mean, I don't even know if the stats should apply. But she had the numbers, and you didn't, Frank. That's it for Isola. Mina Kimes as well, thank you for today. Duncan has been on the roller coaster today. She survives and has Woody Page in Showdown next.
Mm-hmm. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need.
So on the base pass last night, we had Harrison Bader, a demon fish, scoring from second on a sac fly. And for Atlanta, Adam Duvall, he hit this ball. It was nearly robbed. It was actually helped over the fence for a home run. So it wasn't really a home run, but then it was. But then it wasn't again because the runner on first, Riley, ran back and they passed each other out and single. Woody, whose fault is that? The umps for not making a clear call, the rule for being what it is, Riley for running back, or Duvall for not hitting it 2 feet further?
Well, it's baseball for not having a rule that actually applies to that, but it was the umps on the scene because you have to make a quick call so that the players are responding to what you're doing, and they had no call in front of them to know what they were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Al Duncan?
I agree. It's stupid. You couldn't tell if he caught the ball or not, but you can tell by looking at Austin Riley's face, he knows it was his fault. Like, as soon as he, like, caught up next to Duvall, he was like, oop, 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 and turned around and ran away. It was absolutely his fault. The rule is terrible, but it's a rule.
Mm-hmm. There's not a rule for showdown, but saying I agree with your competitor, the first words out of your mouth, that's a tough one to live up to there, L. Duncan. Point what he paid. Showdown 2.
I actually watch tons of film. You know, an overload of film. Trust me, I watch so much film that, you know, my girlfriend gets mad at me. She freaking throws at me sometimes because I'm watching so much film.
All right, Ill. All good with Gronk's film viewing habits now?
Listen, we always knew he watched film. This is like when a skinny person with a six-pack goes, I don't work out or eat good. Lies. Yes, you do. You're a Hall of Fame tight end because you watch film. Stop.
Mm-hmm. What do you
think? I think he actually was telling the Manning brothers the truth. I think that he had to walk it back because of the grief he got. But here's a guy that's been around so long, he knows it doesn't matter whoever guards him. Mm-hmm. Not at all.
That's what Woody Page feels about doing this show. It doesn't matter who's in showdown. What, there was somebody else here? I had no idea. 30 seconds of FaceTime, Woodrow.
This is the biggest story going on in Denver this week. Teddy Bridgewater is having an incredible season through two games. Well, guess what? He got some motivation this week. How did that happen? And why does he need motivation? It came from Elle's daughter. People may not know that Elle and her family are big Broncos fans, and her daughter went online on social media and tried to motivate Teddy, who doesn't really need it. But now Elle is a big star in Denver, but not as big as her daughter.
Evie is the biggest star. You see that, Al? We knew it was happening all along.